Blog Talk Radio.
And at that moment, you'll notice you're not as dead as you thought you were. And you'll realize there's nothing more effective for breaking you free than philosophy in action. And when your intent and your actions are in alignment, you can finally stop pointing fingers at everyone and everything else and harness the power within and commence your empowered life with a mindset that screams, I'm free.
Hi, this is Byron Katie.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Hi, this is Greg Braden.
Hi, this is Joan Borisenko. I'm author of Your Soul's Compass.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Hi, this is James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. You've tuned in to a radio show that can truly change your life. It's time to break free from the prison of your negative thoughts and release your greatest self. You're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Marabowie.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Marabowie. In the next hour, Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Marabowie.
You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Marabowie. Of course, as always, you are welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. Also, you can participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Just go to the instant feedback form and feel free to ask a question of myself. Today we're going to have a little holiday fun today. We're talking about religion, spirituality, the messages, the myths, and the truths. And of course, as I mentioned this show yesterday, the stuff started pouring in. So let's first state that this is, for me, this is a fun type of show to do. For me, this is a fun type of show to do because there's so many, you know, in all the religions, there's so many wonderful, wonderful messages. So many wonderful messages of hope, of inspiration, of motivation, of love, of compassion, of unity, of family. There's the messages of overcoming and messages of love on a universal level, and I think it's such a beautiful thing. At the same time, there's nasty messages. and myths and old ignorance. I mean, an old ignorance also included, because we're talking about a Bronze Age theory, a Bronze Age science in many ways. So it's a lot of fun for me to talk about it. And please know before we get into it that at no time am I trying to disrespect anybody, including my own religion. I was raised Catholic, and I still consider myself Christian. And it's a lot of fun to discuss. It's a lot of fun to point out and know that if you're easily offended, then every other show we always do will be great for you. If you're easily offended, then just turn it off. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to have fun with it, and I love it. First, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Listen, don't ever, 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 ever forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there, make a difference. Get out there and do something. That's all. Do something. Make 2012 your year of doing something, not just saying it, not just hoping it, not just wanting it, not just wishing it, but a year you go out there and you do it. Just Go do it. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Let's do this. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it's that time of year. Oh, there's the holiday cheer. There's all kinds of here in New York. We have all kinds of snowmen and Christmas trees. Even though yesterday was actually a pretty warm day. It was almost like a spring day outside yesterday. Meanwhile, a couple of weeks ago it was freezing, but yesterday was a beautiful day. But there's pictures of snowmen and Santa Claus, and of course there's the Christmas trees, and it's a beautiful time of year. It's also such a nice time of year because people seem to be a little bit more charitable and compassionate, unless you're at the mall. Unless you're trying to buy things at the mall, then they are neither charitable nor compassionate. They're evil and angry and competitive. I was reading an article this morning that the police department here in New York, in the different suburbs of New York also, have had a 5 or 10% increase in responses to disturbances at malls where people are fighting over products and people are fighting over who is first in line. And I was here at 5 in the morning and I was here at 6 in the morning and people just shopping and being nasty to each other. So on that note, I want to talk about, let's talk about this tradition. Let's talk about these lives. Why is it that still to this day, religion plays such a vital role? Such a vital role, even in our politics. But yet at the same time, it doesn't seem to govern our lives. I'll say that again. Religion, our belief system, seems to play such a vital role in our societies, even in our politics. However, it doesn't really seem to play a role in our lives. Now, what does that mean? What it means is basically I just called most people hypocrites is actually what it comes down to. Without coding it, I've never been one to sugarcoat much. I've pretty much just called everyone hypocrites because what ends up happening is we get caught, and this is the structural and logistical problem religion faces as we move into this new age of defined rationality. The issue religion has is the hypocrisy of its tradition. Where most people will say, I was doing a radio show not too long ago, and I was asked, they were talking about Gandhi and Gandhi's famous quote about Christianity. They were speaking to Gandhi about Christianity, and they said, Gandhi had this. Gandhi, what do you think of Christianity and Christians? And Gandhi said, I got to be honest with you. I love Jesus. I love your Christ. But I don't like your Christians because your Christians are nothing like your Christ. And this radio show that I was speaking with, they then turned the question on me. And they said, well, what do you think about Gandhi's remark years ago? How do you think Christians fare these days when you encounter a Christian? How do you feel when you encounter a Christian? And off the cuff, because, of course, I wasn't prepared for this question. And so they off the cuff, my answer was, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever met a Christian. I've met a lot of people who tell me they're Christians, but I don't know that I've actually ever met a Christian, someone who reflects what Christ taught. I don't know that I've ever met anyone that Christ would consider a Christian. Of course, this answer got me tons and tons of extra loving emails. It's surprising. I said this before, and I'll say it again, that the nasty emails I get, which is very few, is a very small percentage of the emails I get are nasty. I have a fantastic audience that is very loving to me, very supportive. of me, and they share with me the impact that this show has on them. But every now and then I get some nasty ones, and it's usually when I bring up religion, and it's usually from Christians who are angry at what I have to say about Christianity, the religion. I've never once attacked Jesus himself. I point out what I feel are the shortcomings, what I feel are the shortcomings of the Christian religion. And by what I mean by Christian religion really is people who consider themselves Christians, who in no way resemble the acts of Christ. And I think a lot of this has to do with our upbringing, the way that we're brought up, and the myths that we're told. See, what happens in religion, and it's not really an issue with the people as much as it is with the organization itself, is that religion in not only the United States, but in all over the world, Christianity, or specifically I'm speaking of Christianity because it's the religion that I was raised in, it's a business. It's a business. And I know that for those of you who are saying, no, it's not a business. Absolutely, it's a business. They're taking in money and they're giving out a product. That's a business. The product they're dispensing is God tutoring. Maybe they're explaining to you the scriptures. Maybe it's one of those old school churches and they're actually telling you God is in the church and nowhere else. But it's absolutely a product, and they become landowners with mortgages and leases and rents and utilities. It is absolutely a business that they don't shy away for a second to ask you for money. But while the business of religion itself has always been around, that's what got Jesus killed, folks. What got Jesus killed was that he attacked the church of his day with the same kind of things that we're talking about today. Jesus was walking around saying, wait a second, why are you guys selling things? Why are you always asking for money? What's this obsession with money? What's this obsession with money and old school traditions that don't even make sense on a human level? Jesus is saying, what's with this Sabbath? I understand that you're keeping the Sabbath, but you mean to tell me if someone needed your help, you wouldn't help them because it was the Sabbath day? That's silly. That's being true to a religion. That's being true to dogma and tradition, not being true to God. That's silliness. But Jesus was attacking the church of his day. He's saying, hey, wait, why are they calling you rabbi? Why are they calling you father? Why are they calling, Jesus specifically said not to do these things. Don't call somebody pastor or father or rabbi. Don't do that. That's silly. We're all even. We're all equal. Don't call somebody that. That why are you wearing such nice clothing? Why do you have such nice leather-bound books? And why are you wearing such nice clothing and preaching these words of God, but the people around you are starving? Sell that clothing and give food to the people around you. That'll please God, not you spouting his words and trying to... What good is it to tell people these things if they're hungry? They don't have the basic of human needs. This is the stuff that got Jesus killed. Got him killed by telling the common folks that no, these Pharisees, these rabbis, these teachers of religious scripture, they're not any closer to God than you are. Don't let them tell you that. We're all God's children. That's crazy that they're telling you this. Folks, don't be led by these people. You're not being led to God. You're being led somewhere horrific. This is the kind of stuff that got Jesus killed. And I hate to say that here we are 2,000 years later, and it still continues to exist. It still continues to exist. You still have an order in business. Churches sprout up all the time with these pastors who will relay biblical information to you. Absolutely, they're doing that. But at what cost? At what cost? And this is a measurable cost. You see the cost to run that operation, that church, between the salaries and the health insurance and the insurances and the repainting and the new bathrooms and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of money go into this, not even counting. And this doesn't even count the mortgage, the leasing, the renting. It's an obscene amount of money that could be going into a community, that could be going towards the homeless, it could be going towards the needy, and instead it's paying the salary of someone who may not be leading you in the right direction. So we end up in this situation where you're never gonna turn religion away for as long. They've said for years and years that the oldest profession in the world was prostitution, was hookers and prostitutes. They always say that they call that the oldest profession. I would disagree, to the point where, as far back in history as I've ever looked, while there have always been prostitutes, there's also always been preachers. There's always been prostitutes and there's always been preachers. It's an interesting dynamic that those are the two researchable careers that have gone back as far as time can go. There have always been both, and I guess you could, while seemingly opposite, I don't know how opposite they are. I don't know how opposite they are. Actually, Jesus was an awful lot nicer to the prostitute than he was to the preachers. That's a fact. What does that say? The prostitute and the preachers, maybe the argument could be made that you're getting screwed either way, but at least one of them is being honest about it. At least one of them, it's an honest transaction. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means that as we move into this holiday season, that maybe it's our calling as we move into a more rational state of religious ideology, and we find that medium. You know, in my own journey, I've begun to find that medium as well. And we say, wait a second, is there a way I can keep this religion in my mind, in my data, in my routine, but at the same time be more of a Christian in the sense of living what Christ lived? And the answer is, of course you can. But please, it will require you to dissolve delusions, new delusions that your church has been telling you all along. That your church has been telling you all along, folks, the greatest church is within you. This is what Jesus said. The greatest church is within you. The temple is within you. God is within you. It's not in that building. Chances are, if it's being run by humans, if it's a business, that's the one place God won't be. It's where you won't find God. That's why you never saw it Jesus preaching in the temple. In his entire ministry, Jesus never once preaches in the temple. What he does is preach on the steps of the temple. He is outside of the temple. There's all kinds of symbolism and discussion that Jesus, the only place he wasn't telling you God is, was inside those buildings where the preachers are preaching away and the people are screaming and they're feeling wonderful and they're feeling full of joy and light. But what they're full of is misunderstanding. And we still have that today. We still have a batch of dishonest preachers. Folks, this is Bronze Age ideology. There is nothing more that we carried away. There's no other belief that we carried all the way this far. We don't think the things they think in the Bible. The Bible was written, they thought they thought that the world was their area in the Middle East. This was their science. There is no indication that they knew anything about the poles, north and south, that they knew anything about the continent, the entire North American continent, North and South America. There's no indication that they even knew that part of the world was there, because they didn't know that part of the world was there until later, until much later. That's why when the Black Sea flooded and those local seas flooded, they thought the whole world flooded, and they put it in their historical accounts that God flooded the whole world. Well, to them, the whole world did flood, because they thought their whole, their little area was the whole world. And this was they were following a story, a myth story that had been around for 5 or 10,000 years before that. The Sumerians wrote about that story thousands of years before it was written in the Judeo-Christian Bible. It's just that the story wasn't starring Noah in that one. It was before that. It was Gilgamesh. And you'll find that story in at least a dozen different civilizations. It's an epic story. It's an epic story of floods, because what happened is, this world is always flooding, folks. Ask the people right now in the Philippines. There's hundreds and hundreds of people dead because there was flooding. We live on a living organism that's moving. It's also, we live on a rock, a really big rock that's flying through space and wobbling on its way. That's where we live, for real. So yes, this earth moves, this earth shakes. That's the reason why you'll find seashells in the mountains of Montana. It's because that mountains of Montana used to be on the bottom of the ocean. This world moves and shakes. It takes thousands and thousands and thousands, maybe millions and millions of years to get from bottom of the ocean seashells to becoming mountains of Montana, but it still happens. There's evidence of this. There's proof of this, because that's not the only mountain ranges where you'll find seashells. This world is always moving, but back then, they thought it was some sort of punishment from God, instead of knowing that it's just the cycle of universe, that there are laws that govern this. And instead of making a God a deity, a deist point of view, where God is this energy that runs the universe, they made God a person. And they said God is angry, and God is resentful, and God is saying that you don't pay your tithes enough. You're not paying us enough money, and that's why he's flooding this place. You're having too much sex, or you're having sex with the wrong people, and that's why he's flooding us. They had no idea that that area would see floods and floods long after that as well. There's over 200 cities flooded. There's many, many cities underwater in that Middle East area because it's flooded time and time again. There's underwater cities all over the world, by the way, folks. Cities that used to be above water that are now underwater because this world is always moving and shaking. But back then, they thought it was because God was angry, and God was a person, and he was angry. The same, they had no idea about microorganisms. They didn't know you can get a virus and it'll kill you. They didn't know that a virus can take, they didn't know that our body's always fighting these microorganism viruses that are trying to take over. They didn't know that, so that when someone was sick, they'd say, look, they have a demon. They had no idea. They had no idea. Now, if today's religions would stop focusing on the details of the story as if it's historically accurate, and instead said, look, and did it for what it was meant to be, look at our ancestors. Look at how smart they were. They took the science as they know it, and they put it to story. Because back then, folks, back then, the use of the parable wasn't a parable. It's the way that people spoke. Traditions were taught. Most people were illiterate. You have to remember, most people were illiterate. So the way that wisdom was handed down was through word of mouth, storytelling. The village elders were based on their ability to tell a story. So instead of being, you know, as we would sit in science class right now and learn about science, they would learn their science by storytelling. And that's how that worked. And in their storytelling, they also would share what they thought were their secrets of the universe. And to their science, to their ability, to their knowledge, they were right. As we evolve in our understanding, we realize they were wrong. Some people, it's cost them their lives when they tell them they're wrong. You know, Copernicus. Copernicus said, look, wow, turns out we're not the center of the universe. Actually, we're a really small part in a little corner of the universe. We're actually a small galaxy system that's on a small part of the universe. And not only that, but we're not even the center of that. We're one of the many rocks that are flying around the sun. The sun is the center of ours. That's the big mass, and that's the center of ours. That almost cost him his life. Because they said, no, God said we are the center of the universe, and how dare you speak against this? Almost cost him his life. It shamed him for the rest of his career. He was shunned. He was shunned. And here he thought he was bringing up a good thing. He was shunned. That was Copernicus. And later on, Galileo would work out, you know, work that out and actually get credit for it. But when even when Galileo did it, he got the same reaction. And this wasn't that long ago. So we have to remember as we move into our new year, what I'm hoping, I don't hope to see a decrease in Christianity. I hope you don't, guys don't get that from me. I don't hope to see a decrease in Christianity. I hope to see an increase in Christians. And the same goes for the rest of the religions. The reason I'm focusing on Christianity the most is because that's the one that I was raised in. And this show, while listened to all over the world, this show is based out of USA, and our primary, the most popular religion here is a Christian-based religion. But we have an opportunity, and preachers, I know a lot of preachers listen to the show. We have an opportunity in this upcoming year. You guys have an opportunity to share some of these things, to share and let people know the history of what you're teaching them. Let people know that Jesus wasn't a deity. He wasn't considered a god until like 300 years after he was dead. Until then, they just thought he was a really awesome guy and that he had insights because he embraced his amazing calling. But in embracing his amazing calling, he also said, all of you are the same. If you notice, Jesus never considers himself a deity, not even in the biblical text. He always says, I am the Son of Man. He's saying, I'm one of you guys. Why do you keep deifying me? I'm telling you, I am one of you guys. I am the Son of Man. And then he goes on to say, listen, even greater things you can do. You can do greater things. I'm opening your mind to this stuff. But once you guys figure out how amazing you are, you're going to do greater things because then you'll be surrounded by more people who know this. That's what he was saying. Jesus had, they say, well, but he turned water into wine. Steve, explain the miracle of turning water into wine. Well, first you'll notice that most of the quote-unquote miracles and most of the fulfillment of the scriptures were done on purpose. You'll see the New Testament writers even write, he rode in on a mule. He rode into the village on a mule. This was done to fulfill the scriptures. To fulfill the prophecy. They're telling you they did it on purpose. They staged it so that it can fulfill the prophecy. Then they say he turned water into wine. Folks, a simple search on Google would see how many people turned water into wine back in those days. Do you know why? Because it doesn't describe a miracle, silly. It doesn't describe a miracle. That just shows our ignorance to terminology of those days. Back then, when they said a man turned water into wine, they weren't saying he literally turned water into wine. What they were saying was he can make the ordinary sound extraordinary. Gifted orators of that day, speakers of that day, poets of that day, they all were told, wow, you can turn water into wine. All the Seneca, all those philosophers of the day were told, you can turn water into wine. Wow, today we'd say you've got the gift of the gab. Or we'd say, wow, you speak so well, you can sell flip-flops to an Eskimo. Don't we say things like that? We're not describing a miracle. We're using a saying that explains that you have an incredible ability to speak. And back then, in those days, if you read literature of those days or learn the cultures of those times, you'll see that one of their expressions was, this man is a gifted speaker. He can turn water into wine. It was a description of what a great orator Jesus was, not of a miracle performed. Then later, in the descriptions, as people were storytelling, it became a story on how a miracle was performed. But again, this is decades after Jesus was dead that this was even written. This is storytelling, folks. And the reason why it didn't matter to them, and the reason why the Synoptic Gospels and the Q Gospel that they think that they come from, the reason why they're a little bit off on the details is because it never really mattered. They didn't write it for the details of the story. They wrote it for the power of the message. Later on, when individuals saw the power this had over the people, they immediately seized it. It's no mistake, folks. It's no mistakes that the head of the church was also the head of the countries back in those days. That the commanders were also the spiritual commanders. And to this day, it's no mistake that in the peak of, look at Saddam Hussein, the peak commanders, the people who run the countries, look at the Taliban, same thing. The people who run the countries were also the spiritual leaders. That's not by mistake. That is by design and thousands of years of design. So you'd have these individuals that say, wow, these people are really starting, you know, they're really picking this stuff up. They're really picking this stuff up. So wait, let's tell them that. No, this is the word. This is it. This is legit. But not to worry, since most of them are illiterate and they can't read it, let's just tell them. That's why to this day, Catholicism, Roman Catholics, to this day, they still aren't asked to read the Bible. I was raised Roman Catholic. It's true. To this day, they are not asked to read the Bible. Why? Because their whole tradition was built on telling people and not actually having them read it. It's a powerful way to control people. It's a powerful way to control society. And it's been being done for years. So you want to talk about it? We'll talk about it when we get back. I'm going to take a quick break. Keep the feedback coming. The good, the bad, take it. I'll take it all. Keep the feedback coming. You're listening to Empowered Living. We'll be right back. Just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success is immeasurable.
Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true. The scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our websites, thebettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. We're talking religion, spirituality, messages, myths, and truths. Oh, I love it. Feedback goes crazy when I do this. Here's the thing. There's no need for you to be insulted. I'm not insulting you. I'm telling the truth. If the truth is insulting you, you're proving my point. If the truth is insulting you, it's because your pastors, your priests, your fathers, whatever, your rabbis, whatever you call them, they haven't been telling you the truth. And they haven't been telling you the truth for so long that when you hear truth, you're insulted. And it's okay, because don't worry, the Pharisees were insulted too, and that's why they stopped Jesus from telling the truth. Fortunately, we're not living in those days, and I could say it over a microphone, and you could be angry, but don't be angry because of what I'm saying. Be angry that what I'm saying is true, and go back to your pastors and say, wait a second, why aren't we being on the up and up? I'm not trying to destroy religion. I think that would be silly to destroy religion. That's crazy. I'm trying to get religion to be on the up and up, just like I do in business. I've excelled in the business world, not because I'm trying to destroy business, because I want people in business to be on the up and up. I want up and up business to be popular. I think houses of worship are fantastic. I'm so blessed and honored that I get to go speak at churches all over the world. And when I go speak at those churches, we talked about action and living, and that's what I want. I want you to walk into your church and your pastors and priests and fathers and clergymen, whatever the hell you call them, I want them to say, hey, listen, this is our rendezvous point. Let's make a plan to how we're going to help the community today. Let's do this. I don't want them to ask you for money. I don't want them to guilt you into money. I don't want them to do any of that. I want to go in there, and you go in there with the knowledge. I don't want them to keep telling you. And sometimes it's not that they're lying to you. This is how they get away. This is how they get away with their lack of integrity. It's not that they're lying to you. Some of them, it's not that they're telling you that everything in the book and the word is 100% true. Some churches definitely say that, the more fundamental ones. But many churches, it's not that they tell you that. It's that they don't tell you the history. They don't tell you that Jesus wasn't considered a god until hundreds of years after his death. They don't tell you that there are at least 20 other people, figures throughout history in different parts of the world that share the exact same Jesus story. Born of a virgin, 12 disciples, raised the dead, water into wine. Exactly the same story, just a different name and a different part of the world. Why don't they tell you that? Why don't they tell you that? Well, they don't tell you that because if they tell you that, then your church doesn't become the place where the Lord brings the Spirit to you. Your church becomes a community center meeting place where you can talk about what good you're going to do. But that doesn't make them money. That doesn't pay for their cars. That doesn't pay. Then they'd have to go get regular jobs, and they don't want that. So instead, churches keep popping up all over the world because, you know, used car salesmen now want to be preachers and pastors. And they're trying to convince you of something. Then they're not being on the up and up. So I wish people would just be on the up and up and say, hey, listen, let's talk about it. Folks, do you know how it actually works and how I keep saying that Jesus wasn't a deity until later? Do you know how that happened? Do you know why you're Christian today? You're Christian today. I know, because Jesus came and suffered for your sins and all that stuff. I get that. But do you know why you know that story? You know that story because of Emperor Constantine. The Holy Roman Empire, Emperor Constantine. He created this Council of Nicaea. What he saw, first of all, is you had the Gnostics. The Gnostics were taking what Jesus had said and ran with it, but they were literally taking what he said and ran with it. They were being nice, and they were helping communities, and they were taking action, and they weren't putting as much emphasis on tradition and as far as going through the motions of sacraments and all that kind of stuff. They said, no, let's just go help people. Let's go teach people about life. Let's be honest with them. Let's look into the sciences and the arts. And Gnosticism was very self-empowering. There is nothing more dangerous to a government than people being self-empowered. So, said, okay, those Gnostics are out there. Then you had the traditional, the offshoot of Judaism, which was the basic, you know, Christians at the time. And they were kind of following the Judaic traditions, but, you know, kind of reformed Jews in one way. Then you had, which was an ever-growing population, you had the naturists. You had the pagans, as they called them then. And today they would be like naturalists. Today they would be just the spiritual people who were appreciating and loving the earth, and they were appreciating and loving plants and flowers, and they were kind of like the hippies, kind of like the hippies of the day. And what they were doing, they had their own beliefs, and they were watching the solstice, and they were paying attention to the universe and the moon and the stars, and they were paying attention to this like they were doing in those same times, like they were doing back on different continents. This is when the Mayans, and this is when all of those the Mayans and all these people, this is when they were flourishing. This was they were naturalists. They were paying attention to the world. So Emperor Constantine noticed this and said, wait, everyone's being split up and they're starting to argue and fight over whose story's true. How do I harness this? I got soldiers I'm fighting. I can't fight this kind of stuff too. So let's just all create something. Let's get together. There's so many books out there and so many ideas. Let's put it all in one place and see how we can harness this. So Emperor Constantine got together at the Nicene Council with all the fundamentalists and different religions and different sciences, and you know, it was like a meeting of the minds of back in that day. And of course, military strategists. And they got together and they created what today is known as the Bible. They put together the books in the Old Testament. They matched in 27 new books in what they called the New Testament. And they adopted, it was at the Nicene Council where they decided when Easter would be, when Christmas would be. I'm not kidding, folks. Look this up. It was at that council 300 years after the death of Christ. It was at that council that they decided when Christmas, when Easter, when all these things would fall. And they made everybody happy. What they did was they took away the idea. They took away, it's really sad actually, they took away most of what the Gnostics were talking about. They kicked out all those books that were self-empowering. They kicked out most of those self-empowering books where Jesus was very human, very, very human. They took out those gospels. And they left in the four, which he was still really human in, but it was a little more vague. They left in those four and then a bunch of supporting documents, including the letters from the Apostle Paul, which was huge in understanding of Christianity and the development of the church. Then they established their churches and said, this is what we're going to lead, and this is what we're going to teach, and this is how we're going to teach it. This was all done at that council. They made Jesus a deity at that council. Was then he officially became a god and not just a person who was doing really good things. That all of us, that would inspire all of us to be people and do good things. Instead, there was that council that made him a god. Even though he said time and time again, personally, I am the Son of Man. They made him a god. They took the solstice dates, folks. The solstice dates. You know, the solstice, the winter solstice, is December 22nd. And part of the belief system in that solstice is the sun, the S-U-N. You know, the big yellow thing up in the sky. The people who believe in the solstice, especially back in that time, and they still do today, people who are sun worshippers or earth worshippers. What they did was they said, all right, well, these earth worshippers and sun worshippers, they believe that the solstice is the ruler. So they believe that the sun dies on the 22nd of December every year. And then they believe that after a three-day grace period, the sun is born again. So they said, let's take this and incorporate it into what we're doing here. So, folks, does that sound familiar? Suddenly, you had Jesus, who's a god, and he's the sun, the giver of life. And he's born on December 25th. Shocker! It just happens to be the 3 days later when the people who were sun worshippers would believe that the sun was born. And they use the same language, the same terminology, the sun. Jesus is the sun, the giver of life. He is the light, the sun, the light. And he was born December 25th. And that's when they took those dates. And then they figured in calculations for Easter and all these other things. Now, what does this mean for us? What does it mean for us? For me, it's a story. For some people, it's literal history. For many people, it's how they identify themselves. That's why we have religious wars to this day, because people are stuck on a story. People are stuck on a story instead of taking the messages from that story and saying, wow, all right, so whatever. He's a god, and he was born December 25th, and let's do Christmas and blah, blah. Let's do all that. That I have no problem with doing it. I do that. I think it's awesome. However, what gets lost in this is the actual messages of Jesus. We start arguing about when he was born and who he is and was he married, was he not married, did he have sex, where was he for all those years, you know, the whole story of Jesus, because they took out those books and left us with a very limited Jesus. We see they took out all those books. Those books, by the way, folks, today are known as the Christian Apocrypha. You could find them almost in any bookstore, and it's fascinating to read. The text, the missing text, you'll see them sometimes known as the other Bible, and it fills it with the missing texts. But anyways, because they took out so many texts, mostly of the Gnostic texts, we're left with a Jesus that we see born. In the four Gospels, we see Jesus born. Then we don't see him again until he's 12 and preaching on the steps of the temple. And then we don't see him again until he begins his ministry. At this age, that is, they believe his age was 30. Because they took out so many books, we don't really know much about Jesus. And that doesn't matter to me either, because we don't even follow the little things we do know. We don't. So what I would love to see, not only this holiday season, but in the future, what I would love the future of churches. Hey, churches, are you listening? There are reasons why your numbers are declining. There are reasons why less people are going there. Less people are going to your church because they know you're crooked. They know you're not on the up and up. And you might be great people with great ideas, but you are preaching on a crooked platform. If you would just say, listen, this is the stories and the myths that we believe in. And yes, the old stories that people used to believe in, Mars and Venus and Zeus and Mithra and Iris and Osiris and all these other gods that, by the way, folks, born on December 25th of the Virgin, shocker, all those other gods, Zeus, born on December 25th, Hercules, born on December 25th of the Virgin, Osiris, Iris, born December 25th of the Virgin. These are thousands and thousands of years between these stories, and it's the same story. Why? Why, folks? Is it because it's trying to copy each other? No, it's just the myths and how this is what they believed, and these are the stories they would tell each other. And who cares about the details of the story? What about the message? What about the message of the story? So churches preach and preach and preach. There's some amazing, brilliant preachers out there. Preach and tell the story. But at least recognize and acknowledge that the story you're telling is one of countless stories. And this is the story that arrived to our day and age in our part of the world. There are parts of the world, you can go to China, you can go to certain Pacific islands, you can go many places that this story didn't arrive to, because those people weren't conquered by the people we were conquered by. Just acknowledge that, hey, you know what, this isn't a word-for-word historic event, but instead, this is a story that our ancestors were telling, and their ancestors were telling, and their ancestors were telling. This is the story of our humanity, that no matter where you are, no matter what you do, you can make a difference. that regardless of what's in the laws and what's regardless of who knows what and whether you can read or can't read or you could afford this or you can't afford that, that you are spectacular. And that even the greatest person is just like you. And that you can take actions today. Not just preach and sing and pray and hope and wish and dream, but you can take action today that can change your life and can change the life of those around you. Churches, if you started talking like that, if you started telling stories about the Good Samaritan and tell the historic points of it, if you start talking about Lazarus and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and you take out the mythology, of it, where you're saying that he literally raised someone from the dead, and then you put it back to what it was intended to be when that story was originally written, where Jesus, just like you hear me say, you go from existing to living, Jesus didn't say that. He said you go from dead to living. Jesus considered anyone who wasn't living an empowered life, he considered them dead. And not in a mean way, saying that you're just existing, you're not alive, you're not happening to life, life is happening to you. He considered them dead. That's why when one of his disciples wanted to go back to his hometown to bury his dad, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. He wasn't being cold-hearted. He was saying he was blind. He was blind to the truth. So let the blind people bury the blind people. Our mission's too busy right now. Our mission's too important right now. We're bringing people back to life. It was the same thing as the turning water into wine. He considered the people who weren't following and living this way, he considered them dead. He'd say, look at them. They just go to work every day and they recite these scriptures out in public. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're dead. All of you are dead. You're not even alive. You're married to scriptures. You're married to chants. You're married to tradition. None of you are alive and seeing the people, the wonders, the beauty around you. You're talking about the grace and power of God, and you're following all these songs and all these things, but you're working and walking around homeless people. You're not welcoming the unwanted. You're kicking out the lepers. You're judging people who don't believe what you believe. You're killing people who don't believe what you believe, yet you're talking about life in a way that God would support this, and he doesn't. You are all dead. I'm here to bring you to life. That's what he was saying. He was an incredible speaker. The man packed not an auditorium but a hillside. He packed them, 5,000, not including women and children, and he gave a speech that we're still talking about 2,000 years later. The man could speak and he could act and he can live it. Most of what's written, most of what we have left of what's written of Jesus, most of it is his actions, not his words. So churches, if you could talk like that and share those stories, you would fill those rooms. But for as long as you keep it on the crooked side, you're going to continue to get a decline because people are waking up. People are waking up, and I hope you wake up as well and start sharing. And folks, for those of you out there who are listening, no matter what you believe, no matter who you believe in, it doesn't matter. Get out there and make a difference in your life. In your life and in the people around you. There are people who need your love, your compassion, your attention. There are people out there that would love for you to sit and speak with them, regardless of their religion. They would love for you to care for them. There are people in prison who want to be remembered. There are people who are hungry that want to be acknowledged. There are people who are guilty who want to be forgiven. There are people who are naked who want to be clothed. There are people and countless opportunities for you out there to show, not just say, to show that what you believe is a powerful brotherhood and loving, compassionate philosophy that can heal our world. Folks, I hope you have a great holiday season. Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you all remember that no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're up to, you are powerful and beautiful beyond measure. Keep going and don't ever stop. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
Better today. would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.